idea.
Good evening. Almighty God, may we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessings upon this council, directing prosperous deliberations, the advancement of thy glory, and the welfare of thy people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the council acknowledges that land it now occupies has a history that began with its indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respect to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants, past and present, and let also pay respect to all nationalities that make up our ever-growing community. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
Mr. Mayor, we have apologies this evening from Councillor Kesich and Councillor DeSantis.
Changes to the order of business?
Mr. Mayor, sorry, there's also a late apology from Councillor Maidlick.
Thank you. Chief Order of Business, Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move a procedural motion that notices of motion 574 and 579 be heard after public question time to allow our younger audience a chance to go home and get some sleep, and also items 13 and 14 on the agenda be heard concurrently, with each councillor having up to 3 minutes and the mayor up to five.
That's the wrong number, yeah.
Sorry, Councillor Ramsey, I was under the impression it was 575, not 574.
Yes, it was, but I've now moved 574, the rescission motion, because most of these young, wonderful people are from St. George Cross.
Okay, so you've got 574.
And there is no 579.
579, you said.
575.
575, thank you.
Sorry, I'll put my teeth back in my mouth.
Maybe I'm myself. Item number four, deputations.
Did you have a second?
Oh, sorry. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a second?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. What's his name? Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Item number four, deputations.
There are no deputations this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Item number five, the declaration of pecuniary interest, other interest, or conflict of interest of any councillor. No. Item number six, adoption of the minutes.
Mr. Mayor, if I could I seek some clarification before I adopt or move to adopt the minutes?
Of course. Go on. Clarification from whom?
Clarification from either yourself or Kel. In regards to when the minutes are written up, I've been asked about public question time. Are they word for word, and are the answers word for word?
Simply, the answer is no. Council minutes are not like Hansard. In Hansard, it's a verbatim recording of what every member or every word that's spoken in the chamber. Council minutes are not an equivalent to Hansard. Under council's local law, there's prescribed matters that are to be recorded in the minutes, which primarily are directions or specific resolutions of the council and statutory disclosures that occur during the meeting. And then there's a catch-all within the local law that says any other matter which the chief executive deems should be recorded to clarify the intention of the meeting or the reading of the minutes. So with public questions, we very brief questions are usually repeated in full, but long questions are normally placed or summarised, and that's what's recorded in the minutes. It is, of course, up to any councillor to question the recorded minutes at the following meeting when the minutes are adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And on that note, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 23rd of July 2018 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll second that.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. Before we go to 7.1, I'd like to recognise that the first Carling Springs Scout Group are in the hall tonight. Can you give us a wave? Show us where you are. Over here. Welcome. You're doing a badge, I believe. Yeah. 7.1, Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. That the Record of Assembly of Councillors dated the 23rd and 30th of July 2018 and the 6th and 13th of August 2018 attached to this agenda be received and noted. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy. Do you have a seconder?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Correspondence inwards. There's only one item tonight, I believe. Correspondence inwards from the Honourable Luke Donnellan MP. Dear Councillor Turner, thank you for your letter dated the 6th of June 2018 sent to the Minister for Roads and Safety, the Honourable Luke Donnellan, regarding the intersection of Melton Highway and Leakes Road. I apologise for the delay. Melton Highway is recognised as an important transport corridor in the Melton Growth Area, and Vic Roads has begun investigating the broader section of the Melton Highway between Melton and Hillside, in particular current issues along the road and priority needs. The potential signalisation of the intersection of Melton Highway and Leakes Road will be considered in this context. Vic Road has been liaising with the officers of the City of Melton in regard to this issue. Due to the growth and urban development in the area, Vic Roads is investigating options that will be considered in future funding programmes. Should you require any further information, please contact. Item number 9.1. Councillor Ramsey.
I'd like to move that the parliamentary and departmental letters received by yourself and Mayor be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 9.1, petitions and joint letters.
There are no petitions or joint letters this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Number 10, resumption of debate or other business. No?
There are none, Mr. Mayor.
Number 11, public question time. Mr. Torrey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have 13 questions this evening. First question is from Mr. David O'Connor. And Mr. O'Connor in the gallery. This is. Question reads, given the recent high winds throughout Victoria, given the recent high winds throughout Victoria, building materials have become strewn along Plumpton and Diggers Rest Comida Road in Diggers Rest. See the attached images, which has been provided. These materials, in particular, the polypropylene blocks, pose an extreme risk to passing motorists, farm animals and wildlife. Ultimately, in the result of an injury or death, who is responsible and what measures could council undertake to minimise the potential risk in the event that this may happen again? And Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager of Planning and Development, will provide a response.
Thank you, David, for your question. I'm aware that particularly last Friday, where there were a period of high winds, there were significant issues with wattle pods, as they're known, or as per the pictures you provided, were blowing around in Diggers Rest Township, particularly along the Diggers Rest Kamida Road, which I think is where those photos were taken. In terms of who would be liable in terms of there being an incident or a car accident, for example, I mean, ultimately that's a situation that would only be determined by a court if it came to that situation. However, what I can advise is that council does have in place a strong local law that requires builders, and this is waste coming off building sites that you're talking about, requires builders to contain waste on their properties within a confined receptacle. And we do have officers that patrol our new subdivisions to ensure that happens. That is challenging because at any one time we have something like 2,500 new homes under construction at any one time. So you can see it's quite a wide task that's occurring over multiple growth fronts. The builders in question do have an obligation to meet the local law, and if they don't, they are issued with a fine, and we have certainly ramped up our efforts in that regard over the last 12 months. And I think, just notwithstanding the pictures, you would hopefully have observed some improvements in terms of the reduction in windblown litter around the municipality. Particularly in relation to the specific photographs you've taken, we put in place measures to remove the blocks of styrofoam where they're still on the road reserve to ensure that they don't blow onto private property, and we'll need to continue to monitor that situation, particularly in these periods of high winds. Thank you.
Next question, also from Mr. O'Connor, reads, according to some speculation within the Diggers Rest, the designs and planning permits for a new tavern at the Bloomdale Estate are in the process of being finalised. Would Council please confirm that a tavern site in the Bloomdale Estate has recently settled and is close to the planning application stage? Again, Mr. Shannon, to respond.
Thank you, David. You're quite correct. In the Bloomdale Estate, there is designated what's known as a local activity centre or a retail centre, and we have in fact recently received a proposal to establish that centre, and that will include a tavern, a bottle shop, childcare centre, takeaway food premises, gymnasium and other associated facilities. Officers are currently assessing that application, so no decision has been made. However, it's a public application, so if you'd like to view the details, you're more than welcome to do so. Thank you.
Next question is from Joseph Skusko. Is Mr. Skusko in the gallery? No. One of the requirements under Council's local law is that a public question submitter needs to be present at the meeting in order for the question to be written, to be read out. Otherwise, purely a written response to the question is provided. Therefore, we will respond in writing to Mr. Skusko. Next question is from Mark Borg. Is Mr. Borg in the gallery? Yes. Question reads, I would like to bring to your attention some incorrect assumptions made in the traffic report for Coleroy Primary School tabled in the agenda for today's meeting. The report fails to include the number of licences for childcare and the number of children that are able to attend swim class. It should be noted that since the architect's original design, the childcare capacity has increased by 150%, though not one car park has been added, and King Swim, which was only designed to be used school children from neighbouring school KCPS, is now open publicly at the same time when kids are being collected from KC Primary School. In addition, the kindergarten run by council had additional rooms installed at a cost of $300,000. However, with all these student capacity expansion, not one additional car park has been added on site by Melton Council, YMCA Kings or the Department of Education. This is significant because the assumption was made in the report that the on-site car park is only car park used by Kinder YMCA and Kings. However, in reality, Millport Drive and also parts of Tenterfield Drive are also already occupied by staff and patrons of the Melton Kinder YMCA and Kings due to lack of convenient car park on-site. This means a large percentage of public car parks are not available to parents of KCPS to begin with. This would throw out the author's calculations, as not even car parks used by neighbouring homeowners have been considered or identified. This could have been verified by a site visit at 2 to 2:30pm, which would show how many car parks are already occupied prior to school parents arriving to the area. Council would be aware that if it is deemed that YMCA and Kings are not opening on behalf of the Minister of Education, they would fall considerably by not meeting the number of... required car park spaces as required by the planning scheme in the order of approximately 100 car park places as previously outlined by Council. In order to meet the requirement of the original strategy behind the traffic report, which was to identify methods to increase parking, can Melton Council review opportunities to increase car spaces on the undeveloped area of the corner of Millport and Tenterfield Drive in the first instance? Not only will this be further in line with the approved Melton planning scheme, but it will provide more car parking for KCPS parents to the equivalent of 200 metre worth of linear road car parking, or on one side of whole side of the school, by bringing more of the YMCA Kings and Kinder traffic on site. This also has the further opportunity to reduce reported and ongoing conflict between the various uses of the different facilities. Part two to the question is, would the council consider a three-way funding by Kings, Department of Education and Training and Council to develop the land with car parking on the corner of Millport and Tenterfield Drive, or would it prefer to self-fund? Again, Mr. Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mark, for your questions. There was a significant amount of commentary there, so I'll try and specifically focus on the two questions that you raise. One point, however, that I will make before I do answer those is that, as you're well aware, the state government is exempt from the need for a planning permit for this facility, and the facilities that you've described within your initial commentary are operating for and on behalf of the Minister. I understand that you don't accept that, but that's the fact. In relation to the report, which is specifically dealt with that item 12.5, so later in tonight's agenda, I don't propose to present that report now. However, the report seeks to not necessarily undertake a forensic examination of every element of the usage within both the school site and the wider facilities, particularly the recreational facilities. Rather, it looks at all the parking that is currently available, both on the school site, which is effectively allocated to staff of the school, and within the street network and within the adjacent recreation reserve, where there's also significant on-site car parking. And again, I'll talk about this in more detail when we come to the particular item. There is recognition that the occupancy rate at key times during the day actually sees that there is significant opportunity for available on-street parking. Now, that may not be within 50 metres or 100 metres of the school, but it is available within 300 metres. Now, whether you accept that 300 metres is reasonably accessible is another thing, but I would think that's not an unreasonable distance. In relation to your specific two questions, you talk about whether council would consider expanding the existing car park at the Tenterfield Drive frontage of the school site. That's not something that we've specifically considered to date. There is opportunity to expand that car park marginally, particularly to the west of the existing sealed area. How many spaces could be gained is a little bit hard to know at this point. It wouldn't be a significant number, but there might be 10, 15, 20 spaces. The report later in the agenda at 12.5 talks about the master plan for the Burnside Recreation Reserve, which does provide for a future 40 car park facility immediately to the west of the existing ovals, and that's something that would be more likely to be attractive to council to build because of its ability to provide for greater community access, particularly during weekend recreational use. In relation to your second question, it's really an adjunct to the first question, whether council would consider a three-way funding between Kingswim, the Department of Education and council for the expansion of the car park I referred to at the school site. That's not something that we've specifically considered to date. It's something that council can consider, but as I said earlier, my view is it's more likely that council would seek to, at some point in the future, fund an expansion of the car park on the recreation reserve, given the wider community benefit that might provide. Thank you.
The next question is from Ralph Schumann. Mr. Schumann's in the gallery. First question is a question to the Mayor, and it reads, Re-Community Consultation, Melbourne Islamic Centre Project in Harkness Road. Will the Mayor please explain why Council has failed to comply with their own guidelines concerning community engagement and consultation, in particular with reference to Council's Community Engagement Policy version 2.0, June 2015, and Community Engagement Guidelines, June 2015.
Ralph's in the audience. Ralph, I believe that Council has complied. The policy is a high-level document which compels Council to engage with the community at an appropriate level. Our most recent engagement has been an engagement with an article in the local paper, Moving Ahead. So we believe that Council has complied with what is required. Thank you.
Second part to the question is, will Mr. Shannon please state how many staff members, full-time equivalent, currently work in the Melton Planning Department? There is a second part to this second question which has been deemed to be inappropriate and will not be read. So I ask Mr. Shannon to respond to that first element.
Thank you. I can confirm that the Statutory Planning Department has 19 staff. Thank you.
Next question is from Colin Seabrook. Mr. Seabrook is in the gallery. The question reads, Re-Planning Application PA2017/5728, Use and Development for a Place of Worship at 171 to 197 Harkness Road, Harkness. As an objector, I have obtained copies of all the 198 objections under Section 57, Bracket 5, of the Planning and Environment Act 1987. I have read the objections and find the report of the Planning Department presented to councillors does not reflect the nature of the objections received. I found considerable discrepancies, omissions and misrepresentations. Question 1. I have presented to the councillors copies of the objections and the planning report, Appendix 5 to Minutes of Council Meeting 30th of April 2018. Will Council reinstate these 198 objections as part of the community consultations? And question 2, I find it inconceivable that the planning report is 180 degrees opposite to the objections. Under the powers of delegation in the planning decision process, when considering permit applications, if there are six or more objections, the decision needs to be made by the Council. In the case of at least 198 objections, the Planning Department has exceeded its delegated authority. With the recent call by Council for public consultation in the Melton Star Weekly closing on 28th of April, will the submissions be subjected to the same biased and flawed process, or should this matter now be referred to the Independent Broad-Based Anti-Corruption Commission, bracket IBAC? Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you for your questions. In relation to the first question, when the application was originally advertised, and I've spoken about this at previous council meetings, council received nearly 200 objections. Those objections still stand, and they will be considered by council when they form a final decision on whether to support the application or not. In addition to those objections that go back some time, Council will also have regard to any comments or submissions we receive through the latest engagement that the Mayor just spoke about. They will also be considered by Council in forming a view whether or not to support the application when it proceeds to VCAT or the Victorian Civil Appeals Tribunal in October. In relation to the second question, I'm not really sure what your question is. I think you're implying that given that there were 198 objections that the officers sort of recommended the application be refused, the officers are required to... And sorry, I'll take it back a step. The officers, firstly, are qualified and experienced planners. I'll say that from the outset. They are required to consider the provisions of the planning scheme, any local policies that apply within the planning scheme, any submissions that we receive, balance those and make a recommendation to council, and that's exactly what they've done. You may not like the recommendation, but they've exercised the judgment that they are required to professionally do. You refer in your question to officers acting outside their delegation and making a decision on the application. Well, that in fact hasn't happened. The officers made a recommendation to the council at the April ordinary council meeting, if I recall correctly, and the council have determined to defer consideration of the application for no less than 4 months to enable further issues to be considered. So council will still further consider the matter, as I said earlier. So the officers have in fact not operated outside of the delegation, rather they have made a recommendation to council, which is quite normal in this process. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, next question is from Mario Kasia. Mr. Kasia is in the gallery. This... Yep. So these are actually submissions to the panel process, effectively. Okay.
Thank you, Mario.
Then that completes question time, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Presentation of staff reports. 12.1. Councillor Ramsey.
We moved items, notice of motion 574 and 575 to be conducted just after the public question time.
I need to comment on...
So could I move the motion... 574. The council formally rescind the resolution of council adopted at the ordinary.
Hold on 1 second, Councillor Ramsey. Mr. Tory.
I have to draw to your attention, Mr. Mayor, that under the provisions of council's local law, this matter cannot be dealt with this evening. It is a requirement that for a rescission motion to be considered, there must be at least an equal number of councillors present in the chamber as the number that were present when the original motion was adopted by council. There were 7 councillors present at last month's meeting when the substantive motion was adopted by council, and this evening we only have 6 councillors present, so that is not an equal or greater number. Therefore, this matter must lie on the table till the next meeting of council, at which there is an equal or greater number of councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. And I apologise to all the Wesley strikers who have come here tonight to hear this.
St. George Cross.
George Cross.
George Cross, sorry. Geez, you're going to kill me now, aren't you? Even better. Thanks, guys. Did you move 50.5, Councillor Ramsey?
No, that's yet to be heard yet.
You did. Councillor Bushy, please.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor, I give notice to move that council officers, in consultation with existing users, explore options to extend the Brookside Pavilion to provide additional space to cater for a current high volume of users and plan for an expected growth in numbers of users in the future, and that a council report with recommendations and options be brought back to council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Motion 575, moved by Councillor Bushy. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, could I call a division, please?
Division called by Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of the motion 575, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Carley, Councillor Turner, I declare the motion carried. Item 12.1.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey.
I rise to move a procedural motion to block the following items. They are, now let me get my head around it, items number 12.1, 12.2 and number 12.9.
This is your move. Are there any recommendations that we adopted?
I forgot the last bit. And that the recommendations contained within be adopted.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll second that.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Second by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Okay. Just so the Josh Cross kids can go.
And the West Side Strikers.
Somebody told me with George Cross.
They're both here, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, they're both here. I recognise the both of them. Sorry, guys. They told me West Side Strikers were here, and then somebody says George Cross, and I'm going crazy here. But never mind. Welcome to both teams. Yes. But that what we've done is we've brought forward that notice of motion that was to be dealt with later on in the meeting. So your notice of motion has been dealt with by now. So if you wish to leave, because you've got the young kids, you're welcome to leave. If you wish to stay and enjoy the fun, please stay.
Mr. Mayor,
Councillor Ramsey,
can I seek clarification while we've got these wonderful teams in the chamber? I see all of them wearing some bright red shirts, but they say Sunshine George Cross. Is that correct?
That's quite all right. Thank you. We'll move on, Councillor Ramsey. 12.3. Who's reading this? Mr. Shannon, is it? Oh, Coral. Sorry, Coral. We'll just wait till Jim clears.
They can have a little reunion outside, Mr. Mayor. Both clubs can have a little reunion outside.
Okay, we can move on. 12.3, JWS Satisfaction Survey. Coral Crumery, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, the purpose of this report is to present to Council the results of the JWS Satisfaction Survey 2018 and the Metropolis Household Satisfaction Survey 2018. Each year, Council commissions surveys of the community to determine the levels of satisfaction with Council's performance across a number of indicators and to identify issues that the community wish to prioritise for Council's attention and advocacy. This report represents to Council the key findings of two surveys. One, the State Government-initiated JWS Satisfaction Survey 2018, and two, the Council-initiated Metropolis Household Survey 2018. The JWS Satisfaction Survey is conducted by a computer-assisted telephone interviewing as a representative random probability survey of residents aged 18 years and above within the City of Melton. The survey involved calling residents between Monday and Friday and included 400 completed individual surveys between the 1st of February and the 30th of March 2018. The results from the GWS Satisfaction Survey in Appendix 1 are presented as scores out of 100. Council has improved across all performance measures with significant improvement in four areas compared to Melton results in 2017. The overall performance index of 61 is higher than the state score of 59 and 1 point higher than the interface score of 60. The Metropolis Household Satisfaction Survey is commissioned by Council and has been conducted since 2014. The Metropolis Household Survey is conducted as a door-to-door interview style and involved 800 households across 9 precincts between May and July 2018. Trained interviewers conducted the 20-minute face-to-face surveys during daylight hours on weekends. The results from the Metropolis Household Satisfaction Survey in Appendix 2 are presented as scores out of 10. The overall satisfaction increased 9.3% this year to 7.12, rated as good, which reversed the usually large decline recorded last year and importantly returns satisfaction to a longer-term trend of increasing satisfaction. Since 2015, overall has increased by 4.1%. The 2018 result of 7.12 is the second highest overall score of the 8 participating councils in 2017 and 18. Monash LGA was the highest with 7.44. Councillors, I put forward to you the recommendation in this report that Council note the results of the JWS Satisfaction Survey 2018 at Appendix 1 and the Metropolis Household Satisfaction Survey 2018, Appendix 2. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Connelly. Do I have a mover for the motion? Any further clarification first? No? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder for the motion? Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.4, Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve, Sports Light and Funding. Ms. Cromer again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, the purpose of this report is to inform you of the recent announcement of the Sport and Recreation Victoria of a successful funding application under the Country Football Netball Grant Program for the Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve Sporting Lighting Project. The Sport and Recreation Victoria Country Football Netball Program provides funding to assist Council to support country football and netball clubs to develop community facilities. The program funds projects to improve change amenities, upgrade playing surfaces and develop or upgrade lighting to facilitate increased participation opportunities in community and netball programs. The Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve Oval No. 1 has a sports ground lighting system that does not meet the minimum standards for training, impacting the community ability to facilitate participation and growth opportunities in football and netball. The Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve lighting system was identified in Council's Sports Ground Lighting Upgrade Program as a priority for upgrade in 2018-19. Officers submitted a successful application to the Sport and Recreation Victoria Country Football Netball Program, securing $100,000 towards the project. The project will upgrade the lighting infrastructure on Oval 1 up to competition standard that will improve player safety during training and allow night matches to be scheduled, growing the participation opportunities available at this site. Councillors, I put forward the recommendation in this report that Council note that the funding received from the State Government towards the Diggers Rest Sports Ground Lighting Project and that works will begin on this project in December 18 for anticipated completion date before the commencement of the 2019 football season. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Crowley. Does any council require any further clarification?
No, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to...
Councillor Ramsay?
Could I... That the funding is for oval number one. The training oval, oval number two, that has lighting on it currently and is at that level, the playing level.
My understanding it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move it. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.5, Responsive Notice Motion 538, Investigation of Additional Parking Options Around Corrowick Creek Primary School. Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report responds to a notice of motion carried at the ordinary meeting of the 5th of March 2018, which states that council officers investigate additional parking options around the Corrowick Creek Primary School area and report to council. So, Mr. Mayor, this report seeks to provide council with an overview of the parking arrangements around the Corrowick Creek Primary School. This report also relates to the public question that I answered earlier regarding parking in this location. By way of background, Mr. Mayor, the school's well-populated school. It has 1,178 students, 72 teaching staff and 43 administration staff members. The car parking arrangements at and adjacent to the school are summarised in the table at the top of page 181. In total, there are approximately 699 spaces within 300 to 400 metres of the school, and I'll refer you to the plan at Appendix 1 in a moment to further detail that. For the purposes of the analysis detailed in the report, it's assumed that all parking that's located on the side of the school, and which includes the King Swim Centre and the Early Learning Centre, are for staff and associated use, so not generally for parents dropping off their children to the school. There was an occupancy analysis done, Mr. Mayor, at peak time, which is typically at the school pick-up time, so mid-afternoon, and the details of that are summarised in the table at the bottom of page 181 and also reflected in the plan at page 184, appendix number 1. You can see from the table and the plan, and if I can refer councillors to the plan, the spaces shown in red are those that were occupied at around about 3:20 in the afternoon on this particular day, and those shown in green are those spaces that were available at that time of the day. So clearly there's a convergence of parents on the school at pick-up time, as you would expect, which means it can be challenging to get a park immediately adjacent to the school, but there are a reasonable number of spaces in close proximity to the school. Mr. Mayor, the report further details options that are available to council, and I in response to the public question earlier, I outlined that there is the potential opportunity to expand the car park on the school site immediately south of the kindergarten. The number of spaces to be achieved there is not significant, though, in the scheme of things. I also referred earlier to the master plan for the Burnside Recreation Reserve, and if I can refer you to Appendix 2, you can see on the plan at the western edge of the oval, so on the, towards the bottom of the plan, given its orientation, there's a proposed future additional car park immediately adjacent to the oval, providing for 40 car parking spaces. That is currently shown in Council's draft capital works plan for next year. That will require Council to adopt the budget if it is to proceed, and that hasn't been committed at this point. If Council were to construct additional car parking in that general vicinity to service the needs of the school and the community, that would be the ideal location. Accordingly, Mr. Mayor, the recommendation is as presented on page 180, which is to effectively continue to engage with the school regarding parking opportunities and parking plans for the school community, and that council also note the provision in the Burnside Heights master plan for a future car park adjacent to the oval. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'm happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Mendes.
I'm happy to second it, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.6. Mr. Shannon again. response to the petition, Wiley Circuit and Forest Street.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report has some connection to the previous report in that it relates to capacity to park on street in adjacent to or in the near vicinity to the Corroy Creek Primary School. Council will recall at the May ordinary meeting a petition with 44 signatures was tabled seeking for council to overturn a decision that had been made to introduce parking restrictions in Wiley Circuit and Forest Street, Burnside Heights. If I can refer council laws to the plan at Appendix 1 and 2, you can see clearly the location of the... sorry, I've got my schools mixed up here. My apologies.
That's all right.
This is the Taylors Hill Primary School. You can see that the restrictions that have been introduced are shown on those two appendices, and the restrictions are intended to apply during peak time, so in other words at school drop-off and school pick-up times, on the west side of the respective streets, Wiley Circuit and Forest Street. The reason for the introduction of the parking restrictions, Mr. Mayor, was concern raised initially by one resident regarding school traffic parking in those streets at the peak times, which was making it very difficult for some residents to access and egress their driveways. Furthermore, the street's relatively narrow, and when cars are parked on both sides of the street, it does present issues for emergency vehicles obtaining access through the street. Mr. Mayor, the report details the consultation that was undertaken in the lead-up to the introduction of the parking restrictions, and that occurred earlier this year, and I appreciate that some residents are concerned about whether they feel the extent of consultation was thorough enough or not. I'm satisfied that it was reasonably thorough, but I accept that some residents are now not happy that parking restrictions have been introduced within their street. The parking restrictions have the effect of meaning that some residents can't park immediately adjacent to their property against the verge during the pick-up and drop-off school times, but otherwise there's no restrictions within the street. But it certainly would provide a level of inconvenience to those residents in some situations. Mr. Mayor, on balance, it's recommended that Council retain the car parking restrictions as initially installed. They have been removed temporarily pending the outcome of Council's decision tonight. Council does have the option to leave the signs to leave the street unrestricted. That is an option, and in other words, keep it how it has been historically, but it's felt that it's more appropriate to retain the restrictions, continue to monitor them to see how effective they in fact are over time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Sharon. Does any council require any further clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Happy to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by...
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor. Second it, Mr. Mayor.
You can second it, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
All yes, Mr. Mayor. I oppose this motion.
You just moved it.
Okay. You can move it.
Doesn't matter.
There's no problem with that. He was moving it for the sake of it being moved because he didn't think it was going to be moved, I believe. So moved by Councillor Bushy, taken by Councillor Ramsey, opposed by Councillor Bushy. Does any other councillor oppose? We want to debate. Councillor Ramsey, you moved to move. Councillor Bushy, how can you debate yourself? It's going to be pretty difficult. Do you wish to...
I'm happy to speak on it now. And my...
In favour?
No, against the recommendation.
Okay. Carry on, I'll give Councillor Ramsey this last say then, if you're going to do it that way.
Yeah, no worries. It's not complicated. In this situation, I'd like to see just status quo, so remove the signs completely and keep it as is. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Councillor Ramsey.
I second it in support of my councillor, or whose ward it is, and so if you wanted an alternate motion... Why didn't you just change the wording?
I'm happy to leave it as is, Councillor Ramsey.
You're happy to leave 1 and 2 the way they are?
I'm happy to...
I'm not understanding.
To oppose the recommendations as stated.
Okay, so what's...
So I'd like the signage to be removed. And for it to remain without the signs either side.
So in dot point one, council reinstates. So you're saying that council don't...
Councillor Vichy, do you wish to have this motion withdrawn? And then move an alternate.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Okay, we need the leave of Councillor Bushy, seconder, and Councillor to withdraw the motion.
If Councillor Bushy moves to withdraw the motion, I'll second it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Take leave of council, so we still need to vote on it. Yeah, so are all the councillors in the room comfortable with that position? Can I have a show of hands in agreement? Okay, motion withdrawn. Councillor Bushy, do you have an alternate motion?
Status quo remains.
So the alternate motion is that the status quo remains. Yep?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by...
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hardy. Okay. Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Jeez, that was a long time.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to ask the clarification there.
You can have clarification.
Did we need to put an alternative motion if that one had been withdrawn? Would nothing have happened? The status quo would have remained anyway?
Just to clarify, the status quo is that the signs have been removed.
Yes.
Technically, the council position prior to resolving to leave it as it is was that the restrictions were in place. So it did need a resolution of council in order to validate the current status.
Yeah, we've all been educated tonight, isn't that good? 12.8, Amendment C200, Municipal Strategic Statement. Have I missed one? Oh, jeez. I see you got me. 12.7. Motion 546. Oh, that's two pretty close, isn't it? Investigation of additional parking options around Taylor's Hill Primary. Mr. Shannon, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report also relates to car parking, this time around the Taylor's Hill Primary School, and responds to a notice of motion from the March ordinary meeting, where council officers were sought to investigate additional parking around the Taylor's Hill Primary School. The Taylor's Hill Primary School is slightly smaller than the Corowat Creek Primary School. It has 838 students, 52 teaching staff and 28 administration staff members. It also has an early learning centre located on the site, and it has some car parking on site. Most car parking servicing the school and associated facilities is actually the street network, which is quite common for schools. The report, Mr. Mayor, provides, similar to the previous earlier report, a car parking occupancy analysis at peak time, which is the afternoon pickup time. You can see from the table on page 194 at the top of the page, there are a total of 499 spaces servicing the school and the associated facilities. 421 of those are on-street car parking spaces. The occupancy assessment revealed that around about half of those available on-street car parking spaces were free at that key pick-up time. And if I can refer councillors to the plan at page 196, that shows those spaces that were occupied at that time in red and those that were unoccupied in green, and you can clearly see from the plan that those that were unoccupied are the more distant ones from the school, which is quite natural that parents would gravitate to those spaces that were available within close proximity to the school. Mr. Mayor, this is similar to the Corowat Creek Primary School situation, whereby it's a balance between providing enough available car parking for the community, at recognising that it's at peak times, that it only lasts for a short period of time, versus intruding possibly on open, active or passive open space. In this particular instance, there is a open space, passive open space reserve to the north of the school in Bloomsbury Drive, which is also surrounded by the a street network generally. Council does have the option of providing car parking within some of that reserve. We don't have that in our forward capital works plan, and it's, as I've said, it's really a balance between trying to maintain a sensible level of on-street parking versus maintaining the open space that the community so desperately needs. Accordingly, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that Council note the car parking spaces that are available, particularly within the street network, and that we continue to work with the school to ensure that the school community are aware of the parking opportunities in the vicinity of the school. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does any councillor require further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation, but with an extra dot point. But firstly, can I say thank you to Mr. Shannon and his team for responding to my notice of motion. But the extra dot point in the recommendation, Mr. Mayor, I would like to see option 2 on page 195, that council will consider additional car parking facilities within the Bloomsbury Drive Reserve. The cost of this option is unknown at this stage. It is dependent on how many car spaces would be provided to service the school, and the cost of removing recreation reserve infrastructure at the reserve to accommodate the additional parking, and then a report come back to council with the amount of car spaces that could be made at this location and the costings, please, of the additional car parking bays.
For my clarification, you're basically asking for a report to come back to council with the figures, yeah?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'm accepting the recommendation. I think it's great that we work with the school, but I'd still like the option of the additional car park, or to investigate the additional car spaces that we could do up in Bloomsbury, how many we could fit in there, and what would be the cost to council, and for that report to come back to council.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Motion 546. Response motion 546. Move a tenant motion by Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder for
the tenant motion?
Mr. Mayor. Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion?
Could I seek clarification, Mr. Mayor?
Certainly can.
I just want to be certain that we're now noting the car parking, but we're considering additional car parking facilities. The cost of this option is unknown, so that would be in the report,
yes.
Right? And therefore, that option, when the report comes to council, would then be referred to the 1920 budget for discussion.
Mr. Mayor, I can't make that decision now. I'd have to wait for the report to come back and see what the costs are, and then it will be debated in chambers. We can't predetermine any decisions.
No, we can't. We can't predetermine a decision, but I thought all funding was to be referred to the next...
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. We'll deal with that when it comes up. Okay, moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, sorry, I'll call for a division.
Surprise, surprise. Councillors, division, please. All those in favour? Councillor Harry, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Carley, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner, I declare the amended motion carried. 12.8, again. Amendment C200, Municipal Strategic Statement.
Mr. Mayor, can I move a procedural motion that the recommendation be put, and that I acknowledge and council acknowledges all the hard work done by the departments to get this to this stage.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Councillor Hardy, moved by Councillor Ramsey, moved by seconder. Hardy, does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Okay. Item 12.9. That was a blocked motion. 12:10. Mr. Finlay, planning application 2017-5767/1, residential subdivision and removal of native vegetation at 44 to 50 and 64 to 74 Old Calder Highway, Diggers Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, this particular application proposes a residential subdivision and removal of native vegetation at two properties at 44 and 50.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to seek an alternate resolution, please.
Can we hear the poll first? You okay to hear the poll first?
Do that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. And 64 to 74 Old Calder Highway, Diggers Rest. Site consists of two separate parcels of approximately 5.69 hectares, and the proposal comprises a subdivision of 93 lots, including one designated medium density housing site, ranging in area from 301 square metres to 605 square metres. The medium density housing site is proposed to be 0.28 hectares and located in the southeast corner of the site, adjacent to the Punjil Drive Recreation Reserve. There's only one access point proposed into and out of the subdivision along Old Calder Highway, with an emergency access through the Punjil Drive Reserve, and a drainage and retaining basin in the southwest corner of the subdivision, and removal of native vegetation in the form of scattered trees and spiny rice flower on the site. Now, Mr. Mayor and Councillors, the application has been advertised. There were 12 objections received in relation to the application. The grounds of objection relate to traffic congestion and conflicts on the Old Calder Highway, especially in proximity to the existing railway crossing, potential flooding of the adjoining property at 52 to 62 Old Calder Highway, neighbourhood character, lack of open space provision within the actual subdivision, and loss of privacy. Councillors, the council officers have assessed the application and deemed the proposal generally complies with the relevant provisions of the state planning and local planning policy framework, and have recommended that the subdivision be approved, subject to the conditions outlined in Appendix 6 in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Does any council require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I've got three really quick questions. The current application, the way it is, that has been advertised, does that mean we're going to allow cars to, vehicles to make a right-hand turn at the exit near Houdini's Cafe?
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillors, the application was accompanied by a traffic report done by a qualified traffic engineer. That's been assessed by our council's traffic engineers and also peer reviewed by an independent traffic analyst. The proposal does allow for right-hand turn lane into Old Calder Highway. However, if traffic banking became an issue, there is an opportunity for cars to turn left into the Old Calder Highway, go to the roundabout at Punjil Drive, and then double back.
So it allows the cars to turn right when there's a railway crossing about 50 metres further up the road?
That's correct.
Okay. If the application is approved as presented, what would the footpath network look like after the development's taken place? So say you were at the railway station and you crossed at the pedestrian crossing to the post office, how could you get to, say, Houdini's Cafe and beyond? What's the footpath like?
The pedestrian network would be subject to further plans being submitted to council for approval. This is part of the functional layout plans for the subdivision. There's a recommendation in the planning permit conditions for functional layout plans which show pedestrian access within the subdivision and from the subdivision.
But if I'm at the railway crossing and I want to get across to Houdini's on the pedestrian crossing, sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'll stand up, or just say I'm pushing a pram, not even in a wheelchair, pushing a pram, where's the footpath network there?
That'd be subject to further engineering approvals.
So will that happen after those 93 blocks go in?
As part of the subdivision plans, there'd be requirement on the planning permit for pedestrian crossings and pram crossings.
Okay. And you said there were 12 objections?
That's correct.
Were any of them from and around the Punjil estate?
Yes, they were.
They were?
Yes.
And what were they? What were they in particular objecting to?
As outlined in the report, traffic, congestion, neighbourhood character and drainage.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Romsey. Does any other councillor require any clarification?
Yeah, I do.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Mr Mayor, I just want to make sure I heard correctly. There's only one entrance and exit point out of this whole development with 93 lots to be subdivided. So I'm trying to calculate 93 lots, at least two cars per dwelling, per family, say. So that would give me 186 cars trying to come out of one entrance and exit point in out. Am I correct?
That's correct, yeah. There's only one access point into and out of the subdivision.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr Mayor, can I seek further clarification? There's also a section of land that hasn't got anything on it that's like a multi-purpose subdivision section. And in one report it actually suggests that there's going to be another 17 dwellings on there. Is that correct?
If you're referring to the medium density site in the southeastern corner of the proposed subdivision, my understanding is that it's been assessed that there'd be 11 dwellings on the property, potentially. But that would be subject to further planning approval.
Any further clarification? Councillor Mendes.
Mr Mayor, I'd like to move my alternative motion, please. Alternative motion for planning application PA 2017-5767, residential subdivision and removal of native vegetation at 44-50 and 54-74 Old Acolda Highway, Diggers Rest. Resolution that Council A issue a notice of refusal for planning application PA 20117/5767 for the residential subdivision and associated removal of native vegetation on land at 44-50 and 64-74 Old Calder Highway, Diggers Rest, on the following grounds. 1. Given the number of allotments proposed and the provision of only a single entry and exit point for the subdivision, this will result in traffic congestion and adverse traffic and pedestrian safety impacts on the locality. 2. Given the number of allotments proposed in the subdivisions, the proposal fails to respect or complement the established and preferred neighbourhood character of the area. 3. Given the number of allotments proposed in the subdivision, the proposal is inconsistent with the relevant state and local planning policies relating to housing, council's housing diversity strategy and council's housing character assessment guidelines. 4. The proposed subdivision represents an overdevelopment of the land. And B. That council undertake further consultation with the permit applicant and surrounding residents to investigate the possibility of a second, more permanent access point to and from the subdivision via the public open space reserve at number 9 Punjil Drive, Diggers Rest.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Turn-up motion moved by Councillor Mendes. Do I have a seconder for the turn-up motion? Councillor Carley.
Mr Mayor, I'd like to second that, but with the point B is probably the only one that I don't agree with. I'd like to see that the residents of Punjil Drive would be consulted before we make, I guess, a more permanent access point from Punjil Drive.
Yeah, just the surrounding permit. Excuse me. It says permit applicant and surrounding residents. So I'm assuming that would include Punjil.
Consultation. I guess, Mr. Mayor, I agree with Councillor Mendes for part A, but B, I'm not happy with B, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to second it, but as long as Councillor Mendes removes B or rewords it, and then.
Would Councillor Mendes be happy to add that it, when it says surrounding residents, including Punjil Drive?
Or, Mr. Mayor, more to, I guess, just to investigate possible access points, but not specifically name Punjil Drive in there. Not that I'm telling her what to. But you know, that's...
Well, I'm happy to look at our alternative access points, and I actually feel that it's talking about consultation with all residents, but if you want to change it, the wording to consultation with the residents in Punjil Drive as well,
including
I'm happy to do that.
Including Drive.
Yeah, I'm happy to include them in the consultation. I'm happy with that, but would then
an access point to and from the subdivision via the public open space reserve at number 9 Punjil Drive, Diggers Rest, be removed?
No, I'd like to have maybe that plus and alternative options.
So you're looking at that and
a range of options if there's anything that might exist, but I'm not prepared to remove that.
Okay.
Are you seconding it?
No, Mr. Mayor, not with that. I'd like to see that removed.
Mr. Mayor, I'd second it with as stated.
Yeah, from there.
I'm happy, Mr. Mayor, if there's an investigation to other alternate permit access points, but not through Punjil Drive.
Okay.
I don't think that's fair.
I'm happy with the council undertake further consultation with the permit applicant and surrounding residents to investigate the possibility of a second, more permanent access point to and from the subdivision.
Could you just repeat that, please, Mr. Mayor?
That council undertake further consultation with the permit applicant and surrounding residents to investigate the possibility of a second, more permanent access point to and from the subdivision. So it's basically saying, looking at if there is another alternative again. Councillor Ramsey.
Can I seek clarification on that? What if the only alternative is Punjil Drive?
Well, it'll be assessed.
That's right.
It'll be assessed if that's only...
Because this is specifically saying that Punjil Drive...
So you're not taking Punjil Drive off the agenda. You're not taking it off the agenda. You're just so if it's the only one, then that
we're looking for any option.
If it is the only one, then that would come back to council once it's been discussed. But for now, the way that this is written, it's like going to look.
You're happy taking our last bow then?
Yes, as long as Punjil Drive.
Councillor Mendes, are you happy with that?
I'm happy to do that under the circumstances, and hopefully that. That's still the one that's looked at when we actually do the rest.
Well, it won't exclude it at this stage. Okay. Alternative motion moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I actually call a division, please?
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey. I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mead, could I please have it noted that if Punjil Drive is the only alternative, that will come to council?
It says...
As long as...
It doesn't need to be noted. Councillor Ramsey, it's in the warden.
Thank
you. Okay, item 12.11. Mr. Finlay again, planning application PA 2018/6021, development of 4 double-storey dwellings at 15 Empress Way, Mount West. Councillor Ramsey.
Not to be outdone, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to put an alternative motion, if that be okay, rather than listen to the report.
Carry on, Councillor Ramsey.
Okay, the alternative motion reads... for planning application PA 2018/6021, development of the land with 4 double-storey dwellings at 15 Empress Way, Melton West, that council issue a notice of refusal to grant the permit for the development of the land with 4 double-storey dwellings at 15 Empress Way, West, Melton West, on the following grounds. The density and form of the proposed development is excessive and fails to respect and complement the neighbourhood character of the area. 2, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and standards of res code pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to neighbourhood character. And 3, the proposal is considered to be an overdevelopment of the site, in particular the combination of the double-storey building elements, minimal separation between the dwellings, mass and visual bulk of the dwellings creating the impression that the proposed dwellings are being squeezed onto the subject site.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Senate motion moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the alternate?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask for a division, please?
Division called. All those in favour, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey. I declare the motion carried. Thank you. Item 1212, planning application PA 2018-6088/1, use and development of camping and caravan park associated with native vegetation removal at 1376 to 1432 Calder Highway, Diggers Rest. Mr. Finlay again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, this application concerns a proposal for camping and caravan park and native vegetation.
Councillor Ramsey, please. You have to wait till this is finished. Sorry, mate.
At 1376 Calder Highway, Diggers Rest. It's the site that's immediately to the north of the former Diggers Rest Hotel site. Now, the application is proposing a camping and caravan park on an 18.23 hectare parcel of land. It's a two-stage development at the southern end of the site. It can be best summarised as follows. Total of 85 camping sites, comprising 8 large van sites, 30 medium van sites and 6 small van sites, 6 recreational vehicle sites, 5 large cabins and 30 standard cabins, an office, camp kitchen, 2 amenities blocks, 30 visitor car parking spaces, a boom gate to control entry and exit to and from the park, and a number of other facilities, including recreational facilities such as a playground, rotunda and basketball half court. It's a two-stage development with stage one delivering the essential facilities for the initial operation of the camping and caravan park, including the amenities block, visitor car parking, the boom gate, and some recreational facilities and 22 camping sites, 4 large van sites, 12 medium van sites and 6 small van sites, and a temporary office is also proposed, with the remainder being constructed as part of stage two. The application has gone through a public notification process and there are 140 objections to the application and 2 submissions in support of the proposal. Grounds of objection best summarised as follows. The location is not suitable for camping and caravan park. Concerns that there are permanent residents will be occupying the camping and caravan park. Inadequate site parking. Traffic congestion and safety concerns. Increase in noise. Inadequacy of infrastructure to support the proposal and a number of other factors. Application has also been referred to a number of other council departments and external authorities, including Melbourne Airport, and it's noted councillors at Melbourne Airport have objected to the application on the basis of the Melbourne Airport environs overlay and the unsuitability of the land for this particular land use. Council officers have assessed the proposal against a number of state and planning policy frameworks and the Greenwood zone in which it's the site's located and have come to the conclusion that the subject land is not appropriate for this particular development and have therefore recommended that the application be refused as outlined in Appendix 6. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finlay. Does any council require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that application, please.
Moved by Councillor Mendes. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second, Mr. Mayor, the recommendation that Council issue notice of decision to refuse to grant a permit subject to the grounds outlined in Appendix 6 of the report.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Mendes, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I call a division, please?
Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Carley, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Thanks. Item 1213, contract number 18/012, provision of street sweeping services.
Mr. Mayor, can I put the recommendation as printed? The
recommendation has been put by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. Item 1214, lease of council land electrical substation. Ms. Daniel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
the purpose of this report is to advise Council in relation to its call for public advertisement and submissions in relation to a lease of a council reserve located at, part of a council reserve located at 132 Bridge Road, Strathtullar. On the 26th of March 2018, a report was...
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
I'm happy, Mr. Mayor, to put the recommendation as it is.
All right. Recommendation put by Councillor Carley.
I'm happy to second it.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. Item 13.14. Councillor Ramsay.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't ready for you, but I am now. The Macedon Senior Citizen Group had the two boys up dancing, but I sat down and just ate the sweets. It was a great night, or great day. The Business Awards finalists... I can't even remember where it was now. Where was it, Peter? Mr. Bean? Hillside? Was absolutely sensational, and I can't wait to the 31st when those winners are announced. The graduation ceremony for the Community Leadership Program. Mr. Mayor, your presentation was delightful, and it was great seeing the 29 recipients get their awards. I was part of the panel that conducted the semi-annual grants, the AFL Victoria funding pledge announcement for $100,000 for Ainsbury and $100,000 for the Melton Football Club. It was sensational. I'll let our Deputy Mayor talk about the Keep Victoria Beautiful Awards. But it was fantastic and we won. The Walk for Parkinson's Trivia Night, conducted by my fellow councillor here on my right, Councillor Mendes, was an absolute delight. The Vietnam Veterans Day Luncheon in Caroline Springs was also one to behold. And we thank our return servicemen from all wars and pay homage to them at this time of the year. The opening of the Sweet Indian shop was great. The Melton Transport Community Representation Committee, a subcommittee of which met with Mr. O'Connor and Mr. Perry from the Chambers to talk about campaign strategy. Talking about campaign strategy, we had the hospital campaign, and I think our mayor did a fantastic job leading towards that, and to the department that did the lead up and the work in that regard, Mr. Bean, and all your all the departments involved, a big thank you. The other thing, the CWA Melton Day Ladies had celebrated their 80th birthday, but they also closed as a result, so I want to pay tribute and homage to what they've achieved for Melton. The Vietnam Vet Melton annual long-term dinner, but also the service the next day. The GAP fundraiser was absolutely sensational. And on a sad note, I'd like to say that both the Mayor and myself attended Anne Fairweather's funeral. Anne has been a long-standing resident. Her and her husband have come to the chamber for probably the last 10, 15, 18 years that I've been here alongside the Higginbothams, and it was sad that unfortunately she finally lost the battle with cancer. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Mendes?
I was absent for part of last month, and then I came back to do a wonderful event for my Parkinson's Trivia Night. I'd like to thank my fellow councillors for attending that night and supporting me. I really do appreciate it. And to members of the gallery that actually attended and came, it was a great night. It was really hard to keep Councillor Ramsay from touching her phone during the night and looking for answers. I'm sure she didn't cheat.
I did not. That's a terrible accusation. I knew.
Her table did win, so that was a bit interesting at the end of the night. So when I was looking at the scores throughout the night, we actually raised $6,000, which is the highest I've ever raised. And over 4 years, I've actually now raised $15,000. So it's a great effort from myself and from everyone else who's helped me over the last 4 years. So I thank you for that. Then on Saturday night, Mr. Turner, you have got a great function. That gap function was the best gap function that I've seen. I was a bit worried about that mentalist when he used the nail gun and used that as a trick, and I wasn't sure whether that had actually been swapped correctly or not, and I actually had to turn away because it was just too much. My stomach was turning, thinking that he was actually going to end up with something in his hands. So, and then last week, the hospital campaign. Well, it's something that we've all wanted in Melton for a long time, and I think the way in which we actually have gone about it, and that we need to keep the momentum going. It was well publicised on television, and myself and Councillor Ramsey were both running out of cards, so hopefully the council will keep printing more because everybody's after them. And last Friday, it was great to actually have the Western Highway Action Committee here in our council chambers. And it's great that our lovely new Sam, she's doing a fantastic job in her role of actually trying to see that we actually get the overpasses, not just at Bullman's Road, but we're actually talking about the Leakes Road intersection now. And it's actually become a higher priority in the Vic Roads list now. It's actually moved up the table, so hopefully we'll get that in the next state election. We can only keep advocating for it just as we are the hospital. So keep the motto going, invest in the West, and hopefully we will get some more things in the next state election.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, on the 2nd of August, I attended the Business Awards finalist ceremony. On the 4th of August, the Melton Phoenix FC attended for their Ladies' Day with Councillor Maidlick, and Councillor Ramsey was also there. Then later on in the afternoon, I attended the graduation ceremony of Community Leadership Program. The 11th of August, I attended the President's Lunch at the Hillside Sharks Football Club, and that evening was a walk in the park for Parkinson's Victoria, and I'd like to congratulate Councillor Mendes on a wonderful evening. Well done. $6,000 raised. You should be very proud. On the 12th of August, Caroline Springs RSL sub-branch Vietnam Veterans Day luncheon. The 16th of August, Melton Hospital campaign launch. And can I just say well done to Mr. Bean and his team. That was an absolutely fantastic launch. So if you could please pass on my wishes, well done wishes to your team. Thank you, Mr. Bean. The 18th of August, Vietnam Veterans Remembrance Day service. And if I could just take an opportunity to just remind our residents that voting is now open for Pick My Project. The City of Melton actually has 8 projects that are listed, so please get on there and vote for one of our projects in our community. Also, Thursday the 30th of August, I just want to remind everyone that it's a community road safety forum at 6:30 p.m. at the Melton Library. That's an absolutely fabulous forum, especially for young kids that are getting their learners or their P plates. So I encourage all parents to please take your kids along to that. And I also want to say congratulations to the under 18 premiers of 2018 Division 2 girls team at Hillside Sharks Football Club. The girls took home the premiership flag over the weekend, so well done to the girls. Thank you.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just go through some dates. Other councillors have already covered it, and well done. On the 28th, the Tamil cultural celebrations at Bringbank. It's a great day, thoroughly enjoyable. The Utsav Mail and Lee Tree Caroline Springs Day. The 29th was Melton Botanic Tree Day. August the 1st was Macedonian Senior Citizen Ceremony. The August the 2nd was Business Awards Finalist Westwater Caroline Springs. A thoroughly enjoyable afternoon and night. August the 3rd was the VLG Delegates launch. August the 4th was the graduation ceremony, Community Leadership Program. It's always well attended, and it showcases the youth and also future leaders within Melton. August the 5th, the Breast Cancer Pink Ribbon High Tea Day, which many councillors attended at Crown. Well supported, and thank you very much. August the 7th, semi-annual grants Melton. The 8th was the AFL funding within Melton, for the Melton Football Club, and also down in Ainsbury. Well done to the AFL. August the 10th, keep Victoria beautiful. I'll leave that to last, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, because there's many awards that Melton has been in receipt of, and it needs to be spoken about and highly regarded. The August 11th with Rockbank Football Club's Sponsors Day, that Councillor Bushy attended. I got to talk to the footballers, and like all footballers, we only get better when we get we become coaches. But thoroughly enjoyable. The August 11th was Parks of Victoria, hosted by Councillor Mendez, and that was an extremely great night. I really commend Councillor Mendez singularly being able to put that event together and as a fundraiser. Well done, Councillor Mendez. You should be applauded. On August the 12th, with Freemasons Bacchus Marsh, they opened up their new centre for aged care. It is something to be looked at. It is upmarket, but without the prices to go with it. And again, it's an organisation that really does excel in that market, in that space. August the 15th, League West board meeting. 16th with Melton Hospital campaign. Mr Bean, you and your staff have excelled. You put Melton on the map. You put that campaign high on the map, where for the Premier to come out and respond as he did, we've still got a long way to go, but to you and your staff, congratulations, and please pass those comments along. The 17th Vietnam Veterans Melton Dinner. Yes, it's a moving dinner. You catch up with old friends, but yeah, it is a very moving day. The 18th Vietnam Veterans Remembrance Day service here, well attended. And the Gap on Graham fundraiser, hosted by Val and Bob Turner. It is something to really be engaged in, enjoy, have a ball, have fun. Their bands, the way they put it out, without the hoopla that you normally go through. It is just an easygoing night, and everybody thoroughly enjoyed. And to you, Bob, please pass on from councillors to your wife, Val. Extremely great night, and you put it together so well. And I've never heard a person say anything else except it was one of the better nights on the calendar. Thank you very much. Now, if I may, Mr. Mayor, I haven't finished. But on the August the 10th, we attended Keep Victoria Beautiful Awards. Melton and the councillors, we attended along with council staff. And yes, we've always been thought of as being one of those that make up the numbers. I've heard that comment many a time. But tonight, I have great pleasure, on behalf of the councillors, the council staff, and the residents.
The wrong one. The rest of it.
Sorry?
That's the wrong one.
That's the wrong one? There are many.
That's the wrong. That's not what you're talking about, Mr. Councillor Hardy. But go on, keep going.
Sorry, not quite sure where you are. All right, on the Keep of Sonia, Keep Victoria Beautiful Awards and whatever, we were presentations were made and the awards were many. And you have a list, Mr. Mayor? You're going to read them out and I'll present.
So, Mr. Mayor, read
Ready, Ken?
Yes.
It was a really great night, and we did exceptionally well, thanks to all the staff here at council and all the community groups that were involved. I'll just read out a list. Keep the claps to the end. Wait till you hear. 2018 Sustainable City of the Year Award.
Yes.
We got the 2018 Sustainable Council of the Year Award.
Yes.
We sort of cleared the floor.
Don't worry about it, kid. Just take them all up.
Just take them all up, mate.
We got the Litter Graffiti Prevention Award. We got highly commended. The Environmental Protection Award. The Botanic Trail Project. They were finalists in that. The Environmental Sustainability Award, 2007 to 2027, City of Melton Environmental Plan was a finalist. The Community Government Partnership Award, Harmony Day Intercultural Interfaith calendar and community partnership program, highly commended. Another winner was the resource recovery and waste management for our asphalt recovery program. The cultural heritage award, we were a finalist for the Pinkerton time capsule. And the community awards, the Clean Beach Water Award, Waterway Award, was won by the Church of Latter-day Saints and the Melton Environmental Group's rehabilitation work at Arnold's Creek. That was a winner. And the Protection and Environmental Award went to Friends of Melton Botanic Garden, creating an island inhabitant. That was a winner. And the other winner we had was the Community Action and Leadership Award. African Communities Working Group was also a winner. So on the night we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 winners, and a few highly commended and finalists. So a big round of applause for everybody else involved in that. Thank you, Ken.
We brought it home, Mr. Mayor. Well done.
And also, we received a recognition award from the police in the city of Melton and Brimbank, who they asked us for a donation towards taking disadvantaged youth to the Kokoda program in 2018, and we financed 8 youth to go with them, so they've given us a nice plaque to put up in the foyer here. So thank them very much. Councillor Bushy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be quick. Westside Strikers meeting in late July with the CEO and a number of councillors and council officers in relation to the condition of their ground at Brookside Reserve. The Tamil cultural event to showcase students from the Brimbank Tamil School, which was a lovely evening. The Ustav Mullaly Samaj National Tree Planting Day along the Corroy Creek in Caroline Springs, which was a very nice event, and Councillor Hardy and I were fortunate enough to do an SBS interview, radio interview there. They did a fantastic job. They planted something like 5,000 plants in an hour and a half. They're just machines. They did a fantastic job. The Rockbank Footy Club Sports Sponsors Day, which was nice. The Parkinson's Victoria fundraiser, hosted at West Waters. Congratulations, Councillor Mendes, on a fantastic event for a great cause. And I think something like this needs to be an annual event, if you ask me. Good work. The Melton Hospital campaign launch, I think I just echo everyone else's sentiments around the planning and the execution of that campaign. It was fantastic. It certainly put us on the map, and with regards to Councillor Hardy's comments, the Premier made some mentions on that on the news that night around it. So fantastic and well done. The meet and greet residents with Councillor Maidlick at Aintree Woodley Estate, which was also a fun event. The Caroline Springs Scouts Group annual events presentation night at Rockbank Hall. I took my son. It was absolutely packed, but they did such a fantastic job in their. It was Harry Potter themed, and I think if we're not going to be put on the map for getting a hospital for Melton, we're going to be put on the map for young actors and actresses in Hollywood one day, I'd say. They were fantastic, so well done, guys. Good job. And congratulations to all the award winners and recipients of awards, which is most of you, actually. I think you've outgrown that Rockbank Hall, and you're going to need to use another venue for your next presentation, I reckon. And finally, the Gap on Graham fundraiser. I've got a real big heart for young people, and I really admire Councillor Hardy and his beautiful wife, Val, for the work they do with our young people. Councillor Turner, sorry, but I'm sure Councillor Hardy will take the credit anyway.
No problem, though.
Sorry. Councillor Turner. So, congratulations, well done, and keep doing what you're doing in our community, because our young people need more organisations like The Gap. Well done.
Thank you. I'll just finish off now. I'll keep it fairly short, but it's always great being a councillor in Melton. There's so much happens in Melton that a lot of the community don't know about. It gets advertised in the papers, it gets advertised on the internet and everything, but a lot of people don't know what actually happens in Melton. And as you can hear by the events we've been to over the last month, there's so much happens. It's such a fantastic time. It's a fantastic place to be. I'll just give you a few of the items. Of course, the AFL, $200,000. Arnold's Creek launch. The Keep Victoria Beautiful. I don't have to speak about any of these. The walk in the park, Councillor Mendes raised $6,000 towards the $15,000 she's raised over the years, and basically did it single-handedly. Well done. On the 13th, I attended Elizabeth Young welcoming cities, and it was a mayor's forum, if you like, or that's how it was put over, to discuss the challenges of our disadvantaged youth, including Sudanese, but it did come over a bit different in the paper and on the TV. But it was a good initiative that they've brought out, and it's something we've joined as a council, and it's something we will support in different ways. I'm just looking quickly. The Melton launch, of course, Mr. Beanie's team, Alyssa, Liz, Therese, and many other council staff were fully engaged and involved in it. It was a fantastic day for our community, I believe, and it's invest in the West, build the Melton Hospital. I encourage all of you to get your friends to go on the website, sign up, and put your name in there. Get all your friends, get on your Facebook, get on your family, and just get it done. So you'll get solid. If you've got groups, you want cards, get in touch with council or one of your councillors, and they can get the cards and the badges for you. Let's push this. It's really important for our community. Our councillors taken it on. We put a lot of money into it to push this campaign, but we need the community to push the campaign. Coming from council, the government goes, yes, council. Coming from the community, they see the uproar in the community. It's coming up to an election. They're going to take notice. But we need you, the community, to do that for us. All your groups, any friends, get the word out to them. They must help us at this stage. We've got to make a loud noise now, and we can't do it alone. We need you as a community to do that for us. So please, once again, Facebook, letters, anything you can do, we need you to do it now. We need a loud noise now. It's 100 days to the, probably 98, 97 now, to the election, but we need the noise now. We need to let them know we're serious. CWA, last day, 80th birthday celebration, was a sad day for the group, but it was a nice celebration. We had a citizenship ceremony last week, another 90 people joined the Australian community, if you like. And the Vietnam vets, of course, the service on Saturday was as good as I've seen. Thank you for coming. Cheers. We'll move on. Can't find it. It's hiding. It's back here. Oops. 15.1, notice of motion, 571, Councillor Bushy.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The council officers explore options to introduce steam weeding in the municipality, specifically around sensitive areas such as kindergartens, community centres, schools, maternal and child health centres, and provide a report to council. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy. Do you have a seconder for this motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 15.2, notice motion 572. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That council contact the Taylors Hill Retirement Village Management Committee to discuss erecting safety signs for pedestrians and vehicles at the Calder Park Drive entrance of the retirement village. I'd like to move that, thanks.
Moved by Councillor Carley. Do you have a seconder?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Mendes. Moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 15.3, notice motion 573, Councillor Ramsey.
You're going too fast for me, Mr. Mayor.
No, I'm not.
Can I have it noted that I was within the 3-minute time limit before?
Actually, I know it died down. It writes it down.
Thank you.
I didn't have to get in
first time in
tonight.
History.
It's been a while.
Notice of motion 573. The council officers investigate the current lighting at the two pedestrian crossings in front of the Melton Library and the two pedestrian crossings in Palmerston Street between High Street and Mackenzie Street, and report back to council.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a second for a motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second that.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 15.6, notice of motion 576. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that Council write and ask PTV, Public Transport Victoria, to immediately install a bus shelter at the bus stop on Goulet Road just after Woollahra Parade in Taylor's Hill.
Moved by Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 15.7, notice of motion 577. Councillor Carley.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that council officers review the vehicle access arrangements into the Taylor's Hill Shopping Centre, corner Goulet Road and Hume Drive, in particular the potential to introduce a dedicated right-hand turn lane south of the intersection so as to provide the ability for vehicles travelling north along Goulet Road to turn into the centre, and that a report be provided to council on the options available and the likely costs.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Carley. Seconded by...
I second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 15.8, notice of motion 578. I hereby give notice of my intention to move the following motion. Oh, sorry, yes. Ken, please get the chair.
I'm waiting.
Yeah. Sorry, Mal. I was on a roll.
Yeah, 15.8, Councillor Turner.
Hereby give notice to my intention to move the following motion, that Council investigate the costs, if any, and implementation of trial and reverse vending machines in the City of Melton.
Do we have a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any councillor oppose the motion? Okay, declare the motion carried.
All those in favour?
All in favour. Right. Declare the motion carried.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Item 16, councillors question without notice. 17, motions without notice. 18, urgent business.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor?
Councillor Ramsey.
I'd like to recommend procedural motion that pursuant to section 89(2) of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for reasons indicated.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. Please help yourself to refreshments outside, and if you want to hang about for 5 or 10 minutes, I'm sure the councillors will come out and see you. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
It's just the way I was. If it's people relating.